Hi there, thanks for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and this week, Joe Champion. Steve Palmer taking a week off, no doubt, to make a Patrick Cantlay voodoo doll and stick pins in it. We'll explain more about that in a sec. Three great tournaments to preview this week, but first of all, we'll begin our review with Cantlay and with the Shriners Children's Open. After 71 holes, Cantlay, Steve's selection and my selection, Tom Kim, locked together three clear. Joe, tell us what happened after that for Cantlay backers. It was a horror story, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, they were neck and neck coming to the final hole, and Cantlay hits his ball miles left, finds trouble, and then attempts to play out of the trouble. The ball travels about 1 inch, and then he's forced to take a drop. He takes a drop, plays his fourth shot straight into the water. Game over completely by that point. Tom Kim, in the meantime, is perfectly in the middle of the fairway. He plays to the heart of the green, takes his four, and wins the tournament by three shots. What a player he is.
He is good, isn't he? I mean, I'm a massive fan of this. I was playing golf with Steve yesterday, and he said the only thing that he's slightly concerned about with Tom Kim is he's got everything, but he's just not the longest hitter. He said those wins he's had have come as slightly shorter courses, but he's only 20. I mean, you know, we saw Matt Fitzpatrick, who we'll no doubt be discussing soon, put a bit of extra distance on. But how far can this lad go, do you think, Joe?
Well, I think we've seen he's got it all. You mentioned the lack of length. It's a concern, but it's not a major concern, because when you're as accurate as Tom Kim is, and I think, you know, he didn't have a full tour card last year, so he wasn't part of the measured stats on the PGA Tour website, but he ranked in the top five for accuracy off the tee. He's not massively short. He's not Luke Donald. He's kind of below average, but such a talented player. Seems to have everything, really. Good putter, fantastic iron player as well. And you just have to look at the stats. Two wins from his first 18 starts on tour. The youngest player since Tiger Woods, of course, to have won two PGA Tour titles. As I say, there's so few weaknesses in his game. I think he has got it all. And it's only a matter of time before he starts contending for majors. I think we're looking next year. The US PGA and the US Open are both on relatively short courses by their standards. Could be a factor in either of those.
Yeah, and he's got a good personality as well. He seems like a good laugh. I mean, it's that sort of childish thing where he wants to be called Tom after Thomas the Tank Engine. I mean, it's incredible. But he's a good player to watch. He's good fun. Well done to him. I mean, Cantlay, that's pretty uncharacteristic, wasn't he? You know, he normally has ice in his veins. I guess just one loose shot, and then he just had to gamble after that, didn't he? But you wouldn't put a line through him and say he's a dodge pot or anything like that, would you?
No, I don't think so. We've seen Cantlay in situations like this before where he's just been ice cold, as you say. These things happen. We've seen it with great players before. We saw it, you know, the recent examples. You know, remember Rory McIlroy at the start of the year, he hits ball in the water in Dubai. That's just one thing that springs to mind. It can happen out no matter how good you are in the heat of the moment. Wouldn't write Patrick Cantlay off as a bottler just because of one mistake.
Absolutely not. So one favourite in America didn't oblige, but the hottest favourite of the week in Spain, John Rahm, in his local Open. I mean, it took his time getting to the front of the field, Joe, but once we got into the weekend, he just exerted his class, didn't he? I think it was 9-4, 5-2 available. And if you took what looked like a fairly short price at the start of the week, but, you know, come Sunday lunchtime, it was a huge price and great value. I mean, he hasn't had the best of years, but perhaps it's a nice way to sign it off, and perhaps we'll start seeing, you know, the sort of prime John Rahm. What did you make of that?
Yeah, it was a great performance. I love John Rahm. I'm a huge fan of John Rahm. I think his off course, he conducts himself so well, and obviously is a fantastic player on the course. I couldn't have him at the price last week. Fair play to Steve for being so positive on him. I just thought it was too short for a player that hadn't won that much over the last year and a half. But he made his class count, didn't he? Did take time to get in front, but once he was there, he ground them all into submission, tied Seve Ballesteros, his record of three Spanish Opens. That obviously meant a lot to him as well. His European Tour record is outstanding. He's now won 8 European Tour titles, despite mainly playing in the US. Just a great performance all round from Rahm. He's going to win more of these as well. He's probably never going to be a betting proposition for the Spanish Open again, but just great to see him supporting his National Open as well. And I did like the shout of Viva Seve on the 18th green as his ball was travelling in the hole as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, now that was good. And Spanish success wasn't confined to Madrid, of course, because the LIV tournament over in Bangkok was won by, and this must be so galling, I mean, you're a golf tipster, Joe, so you'll understand this, for the previous Live tournament. Steve tipped that lad, Eugenio Lopez Caracha, at 200-1, and he didn't really perform, but he certainly performed last week at similar odds and ran away with it, didn't he? So it must be really galling when you tip a player at a big price and he wins the following week.
Yeah, it happens. It's happened to me on a few occasions. I've had sort of next week-itis a lot of the time this season, not necessarily at those sorts of prices, but very impressive young player, Shikara, world number two amateur, so obviously had a bright future in the game. And this is the interesting thing about LIV, really, is that how they're going to progress over the next few years depends on whether they can attract these sorts of players, because he could be a real star in the next few years. I mean, you look at the list of players on the LIV tour now, and there's probably only, you know, four or five top class players who are at their peaks, really. Shikara is very much one who's going to be up and coming, and he showed what he could do. Very, very solid player. Potential watershed moment for the LIV Tour in what was a strange week for them, because they had that start with the MENA Tour debacle trying to get their official world ranking points sorted. That a really good result, I think, for that tour in general, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I guess so. We've got LIV back in action this week. I mean, the favourites misfired. I suppose Steve was saying the only consolation about the Cantlay incident was that, because he'd had a treble on Rahm Cantlay and Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith was never at the races, was he? And Dustin Johnson, for once, didn't really get involved, did he? So unlike some of the previous LIVs where some of the market contenders have dominated, this was one for the long shots, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, Patrick Reed was second, but never looked like he'd catch him, really. Shikara dominant from sort of Saturday onwards.
Okay, so we've got back-to-back LIVs. We will come to that. But first of all, let's look at the Andalusia Masters at famous Valderrama. I was playing golf with Tom and Steve, actually, Tom Siegel, and he's played Valderrama. He says it's just absolutely impossible. He said it's tight, it's slopey, the greens are impossible. And he said if you dare to get off the fairways, you barely find your ball, let alone be able to hit it. So it's all about tight, accurate operators this week. I'll give you a flavour of the field with some betting. Matt Fitzpatrick, he's a very strong favourite, round about 6-1, shop around. You might even get a little bit bigger than that. Minwoo Lee, 20. Ryan Fox, 22. Rasmus Højgaard is 25. McIntyre's around about that price. We've got Thomas Detre and Jordan Smith at 28, along with Antoine Rosner, 33-1 bar. So before we get your selections, Joe, tell us all about the Andalusia Masters venue. I've given you a fairly good course guide, but I'm sure you've got some more to embellish that with.
Yeah, as mentioned, tight track Valderrama, iconic Valderrama. Previously hosted the Volvo Masters and the WGC American Express Championship, but probably best known as the scene of the 1997 Ryder Cup, when Ballesteros captained the European team to a win over the Americans. It's hosted the Andalusia Masters in 2010 and 2011, and then it took over again when a tournament resumed in 2017. It could be the last time we see it on the DP World Tour this week, Valderrama, because it's been heavily rumoured to be on the LIV schedule for the 2023 season.
Oh, interesting. Blimey. Even courses are defecting to LIV, not just players. Wow.
Yeah, it would be a shame, because it's such an iconic golf course as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, it certainly would. Right, then, how many tips have you got, Joe?
Just three for the Andalusia.
And we're kicking off with?
The best bet, I think, this week is Antoine Rosner at 28-1. High-class Frenchman. He's found his form again, finishing 16th in the Italian Open, 11th in the French Open, and then 4th in the Dunhill Links when last seen. So progressing on each of his last three starts. But arguably the strongest bit of form comes from August, when he finished 4th at the European Masters at Francis. We talk about Valderrama as a tight tree-lined track where you need to keep your ball in play. Very, very similar to Francis. Matt Fitzpatrick, the favourite, is the defending champion at Valderrama this week. He's won Crans-Sur-Sierre twice. Sergio Garcia's won at Valderrama three times. He's also won at Crans-Sur-Sierre. Obviously, those two are elite names. But another example, Sebastian Söderberg, he's won at Crans-Sur-Sierre and was runner-up behind Fitzpatrick last year. These two courses correlate really well. Rosner was fourth at Crans, and he's been striking the ball excellently, particularly there where he was. First for strokes gained approach. His accuracy percentage has been excellent for someone who hits the ball as far as he does. And he ranks fifth in greens in regulation on the DP World Tour this season. And that's despite being really poor for the first half of the year. I think he had one top 20 finish from his first 13 starts. Coincidentally, that top 20 finish was a top five finish, which came at the Catalunya Championship in Spain. Missed the cut of Valderrama last year, but he was third on debut in 2020 behind John Catlin, another accurate operator. And that was 2 years ago. He led the field that week in strokes gained approach. Really excited about Rosner for this week.
Oh, blimey, that's an infectious case you've made for him. I shall certainly be having a couple of shekels on Antoine Rosner. Who else have we got? Who's your second tip?
The second tip is one guy who went really well last week, and that's Minwoo Lee. So much to like about how Minwoo played last week. He just eventually got ground down by Rahm, who was just sort of relentless over the weekend. But yeah, brilliant return to form for Minwoo. He played all four rounds with John Rahm. Of course, he was grouped with him on Thursday and Friday. And to play alongside someone of that stature, Rahm's now back at world number five and play so well and really sort of challenge him for 3.5 rounds. Really speaks to Minwoo Lee's character, I think. He should be able to take great heart from that performance. He makes a short journey from Madrid to Andalusia, so there's no worries about him being jaded after last week's effort, and he hadn't played for the 2 weeks before that. He's a longer hitter. He's one of the longest hitters on tour, which is not it doesn't necessarily scream Valderrama, but he has played well there before. He was 23rd on debut in 2019 and then runner-up to Fitzpatrick last season alongside Söderberg. Brilliant short game as well. You've already mentioned those small greens. Players are not going to hit every green this week. It's important to hit greens, but you're just not going to hit every green. He's brilliant around the greens. He's going to be able to get up and down where others perhaps might not be able to. Best performance of the week last week. Best performance of the year last week, rather. Happy to go in again.
Nice. Love it. And he's around about 20s, I think, Joe. Isn't he certainly any bigger than that?
Yeah. 20s have I got.
Jolly good. And finally?
And the last one, I was a bit surprised to see him open up at 55-1. He's been clipped into 45-1 since then. That's Guido Migliozzi. Missed the cut of the Dunhill Links when last seen, but that came a week after his French Open victory, where he was brilliant in the final round. He shot that fantastic 62. He hit that unbelievable second shot into the 18th hole. Really capable player, Migliozzi. And I think he thrives on tough golf courses. This is a player who finished fourth in the US Open last year, finished 14th in the US Open this year. They don't get much tougher than the US Open, so he's got no problem when it comes to tackling golf courses that are difficult. Valderrama's going to play difficult, always does. The weather's not too bad this week, but they're probably looking at a score in sort of single digits under par. Missed the cut of Valderrama in both 2019 and 2021, but he was sixth there in 2020, so he can play here. His first European Tour win came at the Kenya Open, much easier track, but another tight tree-lined course. And then he came close to winning the British Masters last year, another tight tree-lined Ryder Cup venue when he was beaten in a playoff by Richard Bland.
Excellent. They have three very strong cases there. Let's talk about Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, no one would dispute he's the best player in the field. I guess it's all about price, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it is all about prices. And I don't think Fitzpatrick was too far off being the sort of price I'd want to back him at, really. He sort of 8-1, 9-1 would have been ideal. But I mean, part of the skill in golf betting, of course, is to know when to take on these favourites and when to swerve them. Steve got that correct with Rahm last week and nearly got it correct with Cantlay as well. You're not going to win every time. I just think wanted a bit more juice in the Fitzpatrick price, but he's the right favourite, defending champion and second at the Italian Open recently as well.
Lovely. OK, thank you very much. And anyone else you want to mention in terms of the Andalusia Masters, or should we move to Japan?
No, I think we'll move to Japan.
Right then, yes, there's no evening golf for you to watch this week if you are in UK and Ireland, because the US Tour goes across to Japan for the Zozo Championship, where they're 8 hours ahead of us. So they're going to be teeing off at around just after midnight on Wednesday night. So if you want your US bets, make sure you have them before you go to bed on Wednesday. I'll take you through the prices and then Joe will talk us through the course and give us his tips. Xander Schauffele, round about 15-2 favourite. Sungjae Im, 11-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 12s. Colin Morikawa, 14. Tom Kim, 14. Victor Hovland, 18. So brilliant field this week. Cam Young is 18. Tommy Fleetwood, 22. Tyrrell Hatton, 25. And then it's 28 bar. Really, really strong field for this, Joe. I'm looking forward to this. Tell us about the course before we get your tips.
Yeah, we're at Narashino Country Club in Inzai, Japan, which is near to Tokyo. This is the fourth edition of the Zozo Championship, but it's only the third to take place in Japan. The 2019 tournament was won by Tiger Woods, and then it moved to California in 2020 due to the pandemic, returned to Japan last year where Hideki Matsuyama bolted up by five shots. So if you're looking at course form, you need to pay attention to 2019 and 2021, ignore the 2020 edition. You mentioned it's a strong field. It's a limited field. It's a 78-man, no-cut event. A lot of good players at the top of the field, but it does start to thin out quite quickly below that. There's quite a few Japan Tour players in attendance this week. Narashino itself is a tree-lined golf course. It's not dissimilar to Augusta National in that there's not a lot of rough. There's bent grass greens, very old class golf course. Quality ball strikers, Tiger Woods and Hideki Matsuyama, have thrived in the first two Narashino Zozos.
Excellent. Are you confident about your tips this week for this one?
Yeah, very. Yeah.
Excellent. How many have you got?
I've got four.
Good man. Let's have the first of them. I'm just judging your four. It wasn't the lustiest, but that's
okay. It's
early in the morning.
Last time,
you don't want to upset the neighbours, do you, by looking a weird by shouting four. Okay, right then. Who's the top tip?
So the top tip this week, and I'm surprised he wasn't a bit shorter, is Hideki Matsuyama, the defending champion. Always under huge pressure whenever he plays in Japan, but his form figures in his homeland since 2019 are impressive. He was second behind Tiger Woods in 2019. Absolutely no shame in that. That's probably the perfect result for the Zozo Championship when it first started, really. Their local hero getting beaten by the best player of all time. Then he was eighth in the Dunlop Phoenix, fourth in the Olympic golf competition, and then finally got that big Japan win when he won the Zozo last year. So just excellent whenever he tees it up in Japan. Dominated this tournament last year by five shots. It wasn't as strong a field, but it was still a very strong field. Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Joaquin Niemann, Will Zalatoris were all among the field 12 months ago. And Matsuyama really was by some way the best of them. He's endured a stop-start season. There's no doubt about that. Much of that is down to injuries. He missed the Players' Championship, struggled a bit through the Masters, probably only played because he was the defending champion. But he's been playing well.
That's been his problem.
Yeah, I think he's had neck and back issues, but yeah, neck definitely for the players. I did fancy him that week, actually, and then he withdrew on the morning of the tournament. Yeah, really has been, you know, finding his form, glimpses of his best form this season. He was fourth at the US Open and then ninth in 72-hole scoring at the Tour Championship. Decent result there amongst elite players. 25th at the Fortinet. That was obviously a bit of a President's Cup warm-up. I think it's telling that he wanted to tee up in the Fortinet Championship, suggesting that his game wasn't at its peak. And then he didn't play that well in the President's Cup, but it's telling, he didn't play that well in the President's Cup, but he did play five matches. So he's obviously feeling fit enough to do that. And the thing is, he's based in Japan. He's not like a PGA Tour pro that stays in America. He will have been straight back to his homeland after the President's Cup, probably had plenty of time to work on his game in the interim. And that should have him spot on this week. I really like his chances.
Okay, Matsuyama's the headline. Who's the main danger?
Yeah, so the next best bet is Victor Hovland, who top quality ball striker, seemingly being overlooked a bit at the prices. Now he's around 18, 20 to 1. I think Hovland at his best is up there with the top players in this tournament. Finished 15th at the Tour Championship. Good performance at East Lake. Middle of the pack, as I say, elite field. And then fifth at Wentworth, where he went into the final round alongside Rory McIlroy. Didn't play well on Sunday. Happy to forgive him that. Wentworth, not a dissimilar venue to this, really. Another tree-lined track where ball strikers tend to thrive. Has played Narashino before. He was 41st in 2019. Not a great performance, but that's 3 years ago. He's a better player now, much more consistent. And he did shoot 65 and 67 on Friday and Saturday that week. And he's played in Japan since. He played in the Olympics, finished 14th, another solid performance. I quite like Narashino as a course fit for him. He's obviously played well in the Masters before. Narashino features Zoysia grass fairways. Hovland is based in Oklahoma. Lots of Zoysia grass fairways there. So he should have no problem playing the conditions. And he tends to win all over the world, doesn't he? He's never won in the US, but he's won three PGA Tour titles plus the Hero World Challenge. And he's won a couple of times on European Tour. His game travels all over the world, Hovland.
Thank you very much, Joe. We've got two to go. Who are they?
Yeah, so there's a very strong South Korean challenge again this week. Sung Jae Im and Tom Kim, everyone knows how good they are and how likely they are to play well. but I think that they can be upstaged by Siwoo Kim, who's obviously a fine player in his own right, former players champion, warmed up for the President's Cup in an event in Japan a week before the President's Cup, finished fifth. Then he went to Quail Hollow and he was the best player on the international team. He won 3 points from four matches and beat Justin Thomas in Sunday singles. Returned to action after that President's Cup. Well, he was excellent, obviously, President's Cup defeat, but was an excellent player. Returned to action at the Shriners, where he grabbed a share of the places, finished eighth at TPC Summerlin, just playing generally superbly from tee to green.
He had one disaster hole, I think, didn't he? Didn't I see a seven on his card at some point?
Yeah, that'll certainly hold you back around Summerlin.
So what happens with him? That, in my head, I've got Siwoo Kim as being prone to the odd disaster hole. I think that's fair, isn't it? That might just be me being scarred from that time when he cost me about 20 grand.
No, I think that's fair. He certainly wouldn't be the most consistent operator out there. He's the sort of guy who could be five over or five under through five holes, but really playing very well at the moment. And crucially, I think, he's never been a great putter. He's always ranked outside the top 100 in putting every year he's played on the PGA Tour. He switched to the long putter now. He's got a few. He had a chat with Adam Scott at the President's Cup. Decided to switch to the long putter, and he putted very well by his standards at the Shriners. He gained strokes on the greens. I think he was in sort of mid 30s to 40s in the field, which is pretty good for someone that's outside the top 100 usually. Anyway. Has played Narashino twice before, progressive form figures, 37th and then 18th. I think he'll improve on them this week.
And we're around about 28 to 1, aren't we, for Siwoo?
Yep.
Okay, brilliant. Finally, Joe, who do you like?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, outside of the kind of obvious market leaders, there's not a lot of depth in this field. And I'm quite happy to take a chance on Kurt Kitayama at a decent price. I think he's about 75 to 1. He's chasing his first PGA Tour victory this week. Kitayama's a player who steadily progressed over his career. He failed to make the grade on the Korn Ferry Tour and then decided to go through the Asian Tour. So these sorts of courses will be, you'll be familiar with these sorts of courses. Finished fourth in the Asia Pacific Diamond Cup in Japan in 2018. Decent tournament won by Yuta Akida. Justin Harding was up there, a couple of other familiar names. And then he won the Mauritius Open on the DP World Tour a couple of months later to get his playing rights locked up. Solid ball striker. He's been steadily improving in Europe over the last couple of years. And then he earned his PGA Tour playing rights via the Korn Ferry Tour. As runner-up in the high-quality Scottish Open, and then behind Xander Schauffele, and then seventh at the Italian Open fairly recently behind some high-class players, Rob McIntyre, Victor Perez, Fitzpatrick, Rory McIlroy. They're all up there. So tends to play well in good fields. He missed the cut at the Shriners last week. Not concerned about that at all because he struck the ball really well. He just held absolutely nothing. That's not going to get it done at Summerlin, but this is a much different, it's a different test entirely. And Kitayama, the last thing I'm going to mention is mother's Japanese, so he should be excited to play in her homeland for the first time.
Wonderful. Excellent stuff. Those are Joe's fancies for the Zozo. Let us know who you fancy in the comments section. If you've nailed a big price winner, we'll give you a mention. And if you're enjoying the show, do hit that thumbs up. Right, then, three tournaments this week, as we said. The third of them is the LIV Golf. And the LIV Golf Circus moves on to Saudi Arabia. We're in Jeddah, where I think I'm right in saying, Joe, it's a course that DJ has very, very happy memories of. So we'll see who Joe fancies this, whether he'll go with DJ after we get the betting. These are rough prices, as always. 9-2, Dustin Johnson. 6, Cam Smith. 9, Joachim Niemann. 16, Patrick Reed, 20, Brooks Koepka, Taylor Gooch, Bryson and Paul Casey, and 22, Barr. And just to note that Eugenio Lopez Caracha, last week's hero, is now 50 to 1. So tell us more about the course and then we'll get your tips.
Yeah, we're at Royal Greens Golf and Country Club in King Abdullah Economic City near Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Unlike most LIV courses, this one will be familiar to most golf punters as it's staged the Saudi International from 2019, well, to this year, the first three European Tour event.
Is it the one that's by the coast? And if you look, it's just desert and then it's just there's lush green fairways and there's a
park. There's a golf course.
yeah, exactly. As if any other golf course isn't like that. But it's right by the coast. It's the one where Dustin's won there. Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah, Dustin's dominated here. It's short, it's 7,010-yard par 70, but it's an absolute bomber's paradise. Johnson's won there twice. Graham McDowell won in 2020, surprising winner, but the leaderboard was littered with longer hitters. I think, you know, every single tournament where the Bombers play well, there's one or two smaller, shorter hitters who play well. McDowell got over the line, and then Harold Varner obviously won the Saudi International in February. That one was only an Asian Tour event, but was still a very strong field. Yeah, just look for the big hitters this week.
Okay, how many tips?
Just one, and I think you can probably guess who it is.
I'll get the smelling salts ready. Who is it, Joe?
It's Dustin Johnson, the Royal Greens specialist. I've mentioned he's won it twice. His course form figures.
What do they have to do to get the fairways, the bunkers and the tees given royal status? Why is it just the greens?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably,
go on, anyway.
Find out.
You're about to unleash on us the strongest possible case for DJ. So go on, away you go.
Yeah, I just think it's so easy to make this case for Dustin Johnson. His form figures read 1-2-1-8 of the golf course. He shot a 61 on the way to winning the 2019 Saudi International, holds the lowest 72-hole score at the course, obviously, 54 holes this week. 11-2 on offer. That's the same price as last week. I can't work this out at all, really. Dustin Johnson returns to a course he absolutely loves. Last week, he was playing a course that he's never played before. This is the absolute perfect fit for Johnson. He can just unleash from the tee here. His live golf form figures, third, first, third, fourth, eighth, 15th. Bangkok was his worst performance of the live golf series so far, but he closed with a 67, and he should be in good spirits having wrapped up that 18 million individual prize already, which he sealed last week after Brandon Grace withdrew from the tournament. I just don't see how Johnson's out of the frame here. I'd happy to take him win only, but you could easily back him each way with five places available. He's surely going to be up there.
Yeah, because even though, Joe, these fields are getting, well, they're not getting stronger. They're established now. There's no new defectors. But it is only 48 runners, and a lot of them are pretty average golfers still, aren't they? You know, they haven't filled those 48 spots with stellar names. So you're getting 11-2 five places. I mean, you can't quibble at that, can you? But as you say, you might just want to take the driver out of the bag and go win only. It's an interesting one for punters, isn't it? But very, very strong case there. You're not even going to bother putting up a danger?
No, not really. I'm quite happy to go all in on Johnson. I just don't understand why he's the same price that he was last week, to be honest.
Brilliant. Okay, Joe. Excellent. Before we reiterate the tips, I'm just going to let you know about timings, because, like I said, I don't want anyone to miss the boat. So the Andalusian Masters is, as per usual, early start Thursday. The Zozo, very early Thursday, so pretty much midnight Wednesday. And the Liv is also early, wee small hours of Friday morning.
I think the Liv starts at 9:15 a.m. actually.
Oh, does it? Oh, of course, it's a shotgun start, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. But anyway, if you're leaving it till Friday morning, you do risk oversleeping and missing the boat. So get your bets on by Thursday. Brilliant stuff. Let's reiterate the tips, Joe, and we'll start with the Andalusian Masters.
They've got Antoine Rosner, Minwoo Lee and Guido Migliozzi.
And then we've got the Zozo Championship.
Hideki Matsuyama, Minwoo Lee, Hideki Matsuyama, Victor Hovland, Siwoo Kim and Kurt Kitayama.
And the Liv Jeddah.
Dustin Johnson.
Brilliant stuff. Well done. Have you got any recommended multiples for us, Joe, or a nap, or if you're only having one bet, or are you just going to go with the old singles?
If I was going to do a multiple, I'd do a double on Matsuyama and Dustin Johnson each way.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Love that. Thank you very much. And we can read more of your thoughts in the Racing and Football Outlook this week and next week, and every week, of course, can't we?
Yeah, we can do. Back next week for the... Well, I'll let you introduce the tournament.
No, you tell us what we've got next week. I can't remember. I've written it down somewhere. Go on.
Yeah, we've got the CJ Cup. That's a new venue somewhere in South Carolina, Ridgeway, Ridgewood. I can't quite remember. And the Mallorca Open, we're in Spain for 3 weeks, and then Portugal, the 4-week Iberian Swing.
Lovely. Very nice indeed. Steve will be back next week, as will I. Thank you very much indeed, Joe. Don't forget, Racing Post does promote responsible gambling, so please only bet with money that keeps it nice and fun. Hopefully you'll get a winner or two this week, and hopefully you can join us next week for another Sweet Spot.